Hey everybody, it's episode 300 of PodQuest.
300!
Woo!
It's Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. I am Chris. With me is Druten.
Hello.
And Walnut.
This is Sparta.
No.
No.
Not no.
Are you sure? Maybe?
I'm positive it's New Jersey during a pandemic.
I mean, there is a Sparta, New Jersey, though.
Is there?
There is. It's North Jersey, and it's Sparta, New Jersey.
Never heard of that before.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, North Jersey doesn't really exist. You just kind of drive through it to get to New York.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that sounds about right. There's no real North Jersey or even really a Central Jersey, because Central Jersey is completely fake.
Yeah, I mean, look, North Jersey doesn't even understand that Taylor Ham is the name brand and pork roll is the actual product.
Yeah, those people are dumb. Sorry, not sorry, North Jersey, but you guys are dumb.
Yep, agreed.
Also, just throwing this out there, holy shit, your waveform is crazy now that you have that new microphone.
Yeah, see, this is what like an actual mic looks like. Like, this is what I sound like whenever I talk. Not just all a little itty bitty.
Since you don't have like a thing that you can easily like turn the volume up and down on, make sure that like if you're going to be loud, lean away a little.
Yeah, I know. It's actually not really that close to my mouth. It's probably about like a hand's length away, so probably like 6 to 10 inches. Away from my face. It's not really that close.
Yeah, you're very close to peaking. That's the only reason I was saying, like, to lean back if you were going to be loud.
Yeah, I at this moment, I don't think I'm going to be loud, but I got mic etiquette. I know this. I know what I'm doing. We've been doing this for 300 episodes.
Plus, what you're doing.
I mean, I also have a whole nother podcast I do, so I think I know mic etiquette.
Anyway. We're going to start off this week with some delay news. Or I guess not necessarily delays entirely, also reschedules. They're both and neither.
Yeah, some big sort of pseudo delays, and one that's that at this point they should just give up.
Yeah. So Batman 3 Jokers, which we talked about like a month or two ago, was supposed to come out in June. It is now getting pushed back to August 25th for the first issue.
Oh, that's not too bad. It's only
two months,
a month and a half to 2 months. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, because I believe it was end of June is when it was supposed to come out. So end of August would put about 2 months out. This is still the story that they've been teasing since 2016, I believe.
Damn.
Oh yeah. Where because this is the thing that they showed with the three images of the Joker.
Yeah, where Batman asks this magic chair who the Joker really was, and it couldn't tell him, and then he finds out later that there are maybe three Jokers, and that's supposed to be why the Joker is never... Like, in the different eras of Batman, the Joker is depicted drastically differently. Like, in some eras, he's like that, like, he's literally the clown prince of crime, or however they say that, where, like, he's crazy. But he's not, like, as vicious as he is portrayed, like, nowadays, where he's literally just fucking murdering everybody.
Yeah, and wasn't one of the images that they used a throwback to, Cesar Romero, the 60s Joker?
It wasn't necessarily to him, but it was, like, a 60... It was, like, more of a golden silver age era Joker.
Right, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm hoping, though, that this actually means that the creative team will have time to maybe get further ahead on this book, which I don't know how many issues it's actually supposed to be. But Geoff Johns is one of the people working on it, and he is notorious for delays because he's involved in like the executive level of DC and Warner Brothers. So like Doomsday Clock ended up taking, I think, 2 years for 12 issues. Or close to it.
Yeah.
Like, there were just huge delays between issues. But now, maybe not. Maybe it does better.
That might be why they're delaying the first issue. On top of coronavirus and everything, they might be delaying. Because, like, all right, well, instead of delay midway, let's just delay right off the bat.
Yeah. Which would make a little bit of sense. They're also probably hoping that by August, more stores are open, distribution is more what it used to be, and they can actually get this book out the way they want to get it out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Similar to how they delayed Batman 92 because they wanted to make sure they could get it to as many people as they could.
Yeah.
The other thing we have up is a reschedule. So New Mutants was delayed from its April release date, like less than a month before it was due out, which was like its fourth or fifth delay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's been rescheduled for August 28th.
It better come out.
It's like, not going to, though. Movie theaters are not going to be open on August 28th. At least not widely enough for Disney to actually put a movie out.
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, it's the theaters or enough theaters aren't going to be open. It's not going to have a wide enough release. And they obviously don't want to put it onto Disney Plus or anything else because of stupid reasons of Disney being Disney.
So it's not just like Disney Plus. Like, they don't want to bring it to VOD early at all. They want it to have a theatrical release.
At this point, just get it out there. People want to see it. People are going to pay to see it on VOD, whereas probably not likely to pay to see it in theaters.
Exactly. Like, at this point, it's like, put it on Amazon, charge $20-25 for the rental the way a lot of other movies have done, and you'll make at least money off of it. Money that you didn't spend, because that money was all Fox money.
Yeah, basically. Like, you're whatever you get from this, you're making a profit. At least Disney is. Because you didn't spend a dime on it, except for to basically merge with Fox, but you got money back from that already.
Exactly. So, yeah, we'll see what comes of this. I don't expect for us to actually see this movie in August, but...
No, not at all.
You know, August will be here in a few months, and we'll see what date it gets rescheduled to then.
Yeah.
So, Ghost of Tsushima had its state of play.
Yeah, we teased that last week, that we were going to talk about it this week, so obviously it's a good time to start talking about it, I guess.
Yeah, so it was a 20-minute presentation?
18 minutes and change.
Thanks for rounding it down 2 whole minutes. God. No,
it was literally 18 minutes and some change.
Yeah, no, I couldn't remember off the top of my head, so I just went with 20.
Yeah.
And it kind of broke down a couple different sections of the game. The first part being exploration.
Yeah, which it's straightforward. It's wandering around, and it's an island. You're not like on Japan. You're probably on like off Japan on an island. But it looks like you can go everywhere on this island. There's no like, I guess, like invisible walls or anything stopping you from going to certain places.
At least not that we saw in any of the footage.
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks huge.
I'm actually looking up to see where in Japan. Yeah, it is actually an island.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure they did a lot of research.
Yeah, so it looks like a decent sized island off the western coast of Japan. The south, like southern Japan off the western coast, between the southern end of South Korea and Japan.
Okay.
So that at least gives it sort of a... Because I knew it was based on a real area because the game got almost leaked but after it was revealed, people found like a newspaper article written about Sucker Punch employees coming to the island to do like research.
Okay.
But it's such a small island that newspaper article never really got out of that area until after the game was revealed.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I get that. That makes sense.
But yeah, the exploration of the game looks kind of neat. It seems like they're trying to keep it grounded is the only word I can think of to describe it, but they're basically trying to limit like a detective vision or any of those sort of gimmicks.
Yeah.
Instead, you track things with the wind.
Yeah, the wind, and then there's like animals when you get close to things.
Yeah, so like animals and people might guide you to things, but I meant like if you pin a location with your map, you keep using the wind, and the wind points you in the direction you're supposed to go.
Okay, I didn't quite catch that when I was watching the video.
Yeah, it's one of the first things they do. Like if you notice, he keeps bringing up like a little little menu, and the right option on the menu was like a gust, like a wind icon, And every time he used it, like, you would see gusts of wind pick up in the direction he had to travel. And you'd get the little, like, distance notification in the corner when you did that. Similar to, like, if you, like, ping in certain games or use detective vision or what have you.
Or Assassin's Vision in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. It's just...
It Eagle Eye Vision, that's what it was.
Yeah, it doesn't make the whole world change color. It doesn't go, like, negative or anything like that. It stays the same. The wind just blows where you need to head.
Yeah, which, it's cool. It like, I always hated those visions. Like, Batman was fine. But, like, other games that had, like, those different visions, like, Assassin's Creed mostly, because no one besides Altair and Desmond were supposed to have the Eagle Eye Vision, it kind of took me out of it a bit. It broke the lore. So for them to just be like, oh, well, there's none of special vision, but you are guided in some way. It's a cooler idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Eagle Vision never bothered me, but it did just seem weird that you had this weird sort of infrared sight for no good reason.
Well, it was a special thing that, like, the ancestors of Altair were supposed to have, or, like, only certain people were supposed to get it, but then eventually everyone got it, which... Yeah, everyone that you play as is a ancestor of Altair, but
it's at a certain point that's not true though.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's not just that game. Like Tomb Raider has it too.
Oh yeah, no. Basically every third person action game,
yeah,
in the last 15 years has had something like that.
And I was like, why does Tomb Raider get this special vision? Like, thank you for helping me see these things, but maybe you could have just, like, made things easier to see in general?
Nope. But yeah, other than the guiding wind stuff, like you mentioned, certain animals will lead you to things, whether it's a bird leading you to a point of interest, or a fox leading you to, like, a treasure or an entrance.
Yeah.
There's things like smokestacks and other visual cues on the horizon to sort of draw your sight to it as like a, hey, this is a place you might want to come check out.
And then there's even like those red gates. Like if you follow those, it'll bring you to shrines as well.
Yeah. And it looks, so you obviously unlock a horse. Not sure how far into the game it is before you do unlock the horse, but it looks like one of those, you can call them from anywhere.
Yeah.
And also, when you unlock key spots in the game, you can then fast travel to them.
Which, I mean, that's like most open world games like this. This is fast travel.
You can't assume it, though. Because every once in a while, a game will not have a good fast travel system, or not have one at all.
I have not seen a good open world game that didn't have a fast travel
system. Yeah, but I've seen some good games with bad fast travel systems.
Like what?
I'm drawing a blank right now, but earlier I was thinking of a game that had the fast travel wasn't even worth doing because it actually just took longer than just walking to the point. And a lot of that comes with just load times of games.
Yeah, I think I remember there was one game. It might have been one of the Assassin's Creeds. I can't fully remember. But in order to take a fast travel, you had to actually go to a fast travel point.
And then Assassin's Creed games were like that at a certain point.
So that might be something you might be thinking of.
Yeah,
wasn't fast travel weird in The Witcher?
Honestly, it's been so long, I don't really remember it, but okay. I feel like it was weird enough that I just never used it.
Yeah, I never played The Witcher, so I don't know.
I want to say a common complaint about The Witcher 3 was that the fast travel was bad, but...
That sounds fairly accurate. I know at least some of the earlier Assassin's Creed games, their fast travel it wasn't so much fast travel as it was like hidden tunnels or what have you. So it was kind of, it was a lore built into the game that like, you didn't so much like fast travel the way you do in some other games. You actually just went through a tunnel to get to the spot quicker. You just don't actually have to travel the tunnel.
Yeah.
But still, like that is kind of that is an annoying mode of fast travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The next thing they showed in the video was the combat.
I think the combat looks great. There's two different ways to play. You can do like standoffs and fight as a samurai and be honorable, or you can still do standoffs, but you could be more stealthy and fight as the ghost, which is more like, I guess you would say, like ninja or Assassin's Creed based.
I mean, the ghost combat was 100% Assassin's Creed. You're you're throwing stuff to get people's attention to one way, and then sneaking up and stabbing them with a short knife in their neck, like
shooting arrows in their head and killing them in one shot, things like that. Whereas if you're gonna fight like a samurai and be honorable, you're gonna run up face to face and fight them that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And they took you through the same set of like people in both modes. So they did the same mission once at playing as a honorable assassin and once playing as the ghost to show you like the different ways you can play through this game.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is it very much looks like a first party game from Sony as far as the combat goes.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. It's just, it doesn't look like it's necessarily doing anything inventive with the combat. Other than giving you the option of either like specking your, like, it's not even specking yourself because you can actually swap between the roles, but like choosing to go into a mission as either a samurai or as an assassin, basically.
I bet the choices you make of when you go into combat and into missions in one way or another, that's going to play an effect into the story somehow. It has to.
Probably. There are also different stances for enemies, or it's like for you to fight enemies. So like archers, you would have a stance, I guess, like a more defensive stance.
Yeah, and you can like a big swap brute back enemy, arrows.
You probably have something different.
Yeah.
I was looking at my notes. I don't know if you noticed this in the top right corner during the combat scenes. They actually had two different objectives.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. So when he went in as the samurai, it was to take out the thugs, and there was a sub objective to take out three with like a bow and arrow or something like that.
Okay.
Which is very like. That's a common thing in like open world games like this, especially like Assassin's Creed has always had that when you were like infiltrating towers or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then the other, when you went in as a ghost, it was to destroy the black powder caches.
Yeah. Yeah. And blow up the shipyard.
Yeah. Which is what he ends up doing. And that's supposed, and that whole scene also went to display kind of the environmental stuff where you can actually use the enemy's sort of larger weapons against them, where he like lights the black powder on fire and then runs away and it blows up a ship and like fire spreads into like their camp and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very reminiscent of like Assassin's Creed 2 and all of those where like, if you play as Ezio and you just use the hands, you tend to steal the weapons away. And that's kind of how the combat flowed in this, in both forms, both as ghost and samurai.
Yeah, the combat did look very fluid.
Yeah, and that's... I liked that. I liked the standoff mode, where it was a straight-up samurai face-to-face type of thing that you see in most samurai movies and things like that, where it's just a one-hit kill. I guess that's something that you can't pull off often, but it's something that you can activate from time to time.
Yeah, I know, like, when they showed the ghost going into it, at one point, there was a prompt for like a critical strike, and it was kind of like a hidden blade stab sort of animation, but it wasn't a one hit kill because like the enemy fell to the ground, but then got back up, and you then like I think they threw like a kunai at him to like take him out the rest of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was also they mentioned, I can't remember if it was actual dialogue or one of the little bubbles at the bottom of the screen, but enemies. When you do things as the ghost, you apparently get a reputation, and enemies will actually develop a fear for you and will flee from battle.
Yeah. And that's they did say, like, you use fear as your main tactic as the ghost. So the more reputation you get as the ghost, the more fear you build up. Missions might be easier, but the negative reputation, it definitely has to play on into the story itself.
Probably. But they haven't actually told us anything about story yet, so we don't really know much about that. Other than this is during the Mongol invasion of Japan. That's most of what we know. So after that, they kind of went on to like customization. You're going to be able to customize like what sort of armor you're wearing, which will change your look, but the armor will actually play a role in how you fight too. So there'll be armor and there'll be armor with buffs and stuff like that for samurai gameplay versus ghost gameplay, vice versa. There's going to be charms that you can equip to things, as well as like a skill tree.
Yeah, just basically the normal customization options that you would see in any action open world game, I would say, just in with its own samurai Japanese flair.
Yeah, sounds about right.
You could also find flowers around the world that are dye flowers that changes the color of your armors and things like that that you're wearing.
Yep. And then the rest of the video was actually just sort of other kind of minor features.
Yeah.
There's a photo mode. The photo mode does look cool. Like, the game is very pretty. One thing that I thought was neat that they mentioned in it is you can actually add different effects to it. So you can have like wind blowing or like fireflies or flower petals like blowing by you.
Yeah.
As well as including music from the soundtrack to make short video clips. So if you're in like a particular area that you think is cool, you could add some sort of like effect with like fireflies or flowers or whatever. And then also have like a very specific tune from the soundtrack play.
Yeah.
To make like a very specific like themed video.
And obviously the pictures they had set up looked really cool, but they're the developers. They know how to do that really cool stuff. Yeah, my pictures exactly. are going to be very basic, and I didn't even play around in photo mode in Spider-Man, which from what I hear was really fun to do.
I used it a little bit just because I wanted a picture for my phone background.
Yeah.
But like that was about it. Because yeah, I'm not like a big photo mode person either.
No.
You were excited about this next one. They're including, so at the beginning of the game, you'll be able to select if you want English or Japanese dialogue. Yeah. So you'll be able to play this game completely in Japanese with subtitles to give it kind of an authentic, like, samurai movie feel.
Yeah, which I don't care who they get to voice act in if for the English roles. I am definitely going to play this game. If I get it, I'm going to play it in Japanese with subtitles, just because it rounds out that feel of like the samurai style and the samurai stuff.
Well, you can take it one step further too, and they're going to include a samurai cinema mode, which is a sort of grainy black and white to make it feel even more like a classic samurai movie.
I'd probably play with that more if I do like a second playthrough of that game, but like the world looks so beautiful that I wouldn't want to tarnish it with that grainier look and feel and the black and white.
Black and white actually looked very cool in what they showed of it.
It did look cool, but the whole rest of the world looks really good, that pulling it just into black and white is kind of like, it's deafening the whole game in a way.
Yeah, I can understand what you mean by that.
Yeah.
So it's still coming out, as far as we know, July 17th.
Yeah, I think the video even said it was July 17th, so it hasn't changed from there.
But anything could change.
Yeah, you never know. We could get another delay of something big this year, because everything else has been delayed.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks interesting, and it has piqued my interest to where I'm combating now whether or not I want to just not get Last of Us 2 and get that, or get Last of Us 2 and hold off on that for a while.
Yeah. Right this moment, I think I'm going to hold off on this. It's just, while a lot of the gameplay portions look interesting on their own, I just don't know that I want an open world game like that. Not until I know what sort of like narrative it actually has, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't like those type of games. Like, I don't want this giant open game where it's just like, yeah, just go explore. Like, no, I want some sort of experience where, like, you're guiding me through a story.
Like, I hope it is more toned down into, like, an Ubisoft style and less a Bethesda style, but the world itself right now looks very Bethesda-like.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is Ubisoft, in the last 5 years or so, has gone that same style, where their games are just open now. They're all just go climb a tower and hope you can find your next checkpoint.
Yeah, because I also haven't played a Ubisoft game since Assassin's Creed France, so.
Yeah, so you're going back like 6 years?
But that was also already in the middle where all of the Ubisoft games were that.
Like, they have gone further in that direction?
Have they? All Assassin's Creed 2 at this point? Like, here's
no, because they're all bigger than that now.
They've gotten bigger and worse. It's like, Like, from what I hear with, not the most recent Assassin's Creed, but the one before it.
Origins. I was just about to say that. I spent 20 hours before I left the starting area.
Yeah.
Just because there was so much to do and see.
Yeah, so it's gotten, it has become more of the Bethesda model in those games. But I'm sure it's still more linear than Bethesda games in general.
I mean, but is there any actual, like, linearness to any Bethesda game? Like, I mean, game studio game?
There is a story to, like, the Fallouts and the Elder Scrolls games. There is a straight-up story, a beginning to end. But there is no, like, you're not
walled in.
Yeah, you're not directed to go, and you can go wherever you want as soon as you leave the starting area. Whereas Assassin's Creed, you can still do that in these newer ones, but, like, each area is level capped, so, like, if you want to go to the hardest area at the beginning, you can, but you're gonna have a difficult fucking time because you're not high enough level, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've never really been into the Bethesda-style games.
Yeah, like the Fallouts and the Skyrims and those type of games, the world levels up with you. So there are harder areas anyway, but most of the world, like, and there are harder enemies to encounter throughout those games. But as you level up, even the weaker enemies tend to level up a little bit as well.
Okay. I guess that's a thing.
But also you're, like, not really going to walk into a area of, oh shit, I'm fucked, minus areas that have, like, a specific powerful creature in it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. But Ghost of Tsushima, July 17th. I'm interested. I just don't know yet.
Now, also coming on July 17th, Paper Mario the Origami King.
I'm definitely getting this.
Did you play the last Paper Mario game? Color Splash?
I don't think so. No, I never played that one. What was it? What did it come out for?
The 3D. Wii U or 3DS? Was it 3DS? I thought it was Wii U.
Yeah, I never really got many games for 3DS besides Pokemon and Monster Hunter. So if it came out on, like, the handhelds, no, I didn't play it. But if it came out on like the Wii U, I probably did. Like, I've always played the Paper Mario games that came out on, like, their primary consoles.
Yeah, no, it was 2016 on the Wii U.
Oh, then I didn't play this one, apparently.
Sticker Star was the 3DS one.
Right. I know those games have not fared well in the last few iterations. Like, people were not real thrilled with them, but people seem to be excited for this one. They're hoping that they kind of, like, are bringing it back.
The Wii one was really cool because it switched between, like, like, you could move the camera, kind of. Like, you could flatten, you could go, what's the word that I'm trying to find? Like, if you're playing Sonic, you're just moving to the right. But then you can move the camera, and you're moving forward instead of to the right type of thing.
So that one was Super Paper Mario.
Yeah, I think that was on the Wii.
Yeah.
And yeah, then so I think
Paper Mario, and then Thousand Year Door was the GameCube, and mm-hmm. Super Paper Mario was the Wii.
Yeah. And that was the last one I remember playing.
That was over a decade ago.
Paper Mario games, at least back then, were great. And I because the Wii U didn't get, like, the backing, I guess I never really paid attention to the a lot of the releases, which is probably why I never got that Paper Mario.
Yeah, and to be fair, there's only been two other releases since the last one you played. That was Sticker Star in the 3DS and Color Splash on the Wii U.
Yeah.
And just people did not like those two.
Yeah.
I think the Thousand Year Door is still kind of the peak from what I've seen online. Like, that's the one people sort of look to as the best of the series.
The Thousand Year Door was so cool. It was so good. I've actually never played
any of them.
They're fun. They're, like, goofy RPGs that, like, they're not super serious, and they're just fun to play, but it's also, like, it's kind of like a Metroidvania RPG. because as you unlock and get more characters to play as, you can then go back to previous worlds and get to different things. And sometimes you can't move forward until you unlock this new character, which has different abilities in like the Metroidvania style.
Yeah, it's I know the original Paper Mario was a not a it was like the spiritual successor to Mario RPG.
Yeah.
And I remember playing like a little bit of if it was either that one or the Thousand Year Door. I don't remember which one it was. But like maybe an hour tops. And like it was cool. Like it's not like I disliked it. It's just I never owned it, so I never really got into it.
Yeah. I get that. That makes sense.
But this one looks neat. Like there's a new villain. He's showing up to turn everyone into origami instead of paper.
Yeah. That was like goofy looking seeing Peach as an origami figure rather than just as like the normal paper Peach that you would see.
Yeah, and it looks like the origami enemies can like kind of change their shape and all.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
It looks really cool. Like, that's what I like about these games, like, the art style they use. Because it has that, like, both 3D and 2D, like, world feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. But so, the game is going to have platforming, puzzles, and some sort of weird hybrid combat where it's part turn-based, part puzzle-solving.
Yeah.
Not sure exactly how that'll work, but it seems neat, or at least interesting.
Yeah, they always try different things with like the Paper Mario kind of combats.
Yeah, and then as you were saying, there's going to be like abilities, like in the previous ones. The one that they showed a few times was the thousandfold arms for Mario, where his arms kind of become like origami accordions, and it lets him alter the environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was like a super stealth announcement, like... They just kind of dropped a trailer, like, yeah, hey.
I knew nothing about it until they dropped the trailer, and I was like, holy shit, I'm getting this game.
Yeah, nobody did. They did not announce at all that there was a Paper Mario in development. There were, like, three games, scheduled for this, like, three exclusive games for Switch scheduled this year, and that was not one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where are we? Right there. So, I finally finished watching Assassination Classroom.
Nice.
We kind of like stopped for a very long time. Like we watched maybe like the first like 5 to 9 episodes and didn't dislike it, but it didn't really like click. So it was kind of just that like filler show if we just had like a half hour to kill and nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
But after we finished Dr. Stone, we decided to actually like sit down and watch it. And at some point after like that, like, after the part where we had stopped, the show suddenly like clicked, and we just kind of powered through the rest of it. Have you seen it before?
I have not, but like that tends to happen with like some of those like. I think this is more of like a niche anime, and things like that, where it's like I know it's big and it's well known, but it's also like a very specific style.
Yeah, it's more comedy than it is action.
Yeah.
And, like, early on, like, in the first few episodes, it's kind of, like, not jarring, but, like, almost off-putting.
Yeah.
But, like, as the show goes on, and there's a lot of characters, too. Like, there's 28 characters in the class. Not all of them necessarily get a lot of time, but, like, enough of them do that it's just kind of hard to follow.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, like, everything just kind of clicks, and you're like, oh, this show is actually really good. It's definitely worth watching. It's only 2 seasons, so it's, what, 47 or 48 episodes?
Yeah, yeah. I've heard it was good. I've always, like with a lot of anime, I've always been interested in it, just haven't really gotten around to watching it.
Well, you should get around to watching it. Stop watching Friends over and over again.
I don't. I haven't watched Friends since before it was off of Netflix.
But you're going to watch it again now that you have HBO Max.
No, I'm not. If anything, I'm going to watch Big Bang, because I've never actually... I've seen a lot of the episodes, but I've never watched it straight through. So if I do end up watching like a sitcom from that, it's going to be Big Bang first. Definitely.
Just watch the first 4 seasons, then stop.
No, I mean, I've basically seen the first 4, but I do want to watch like through the end because it was a show that I liked back in the day. I just, once I no longer had cable, I stopped watching it.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. I would definitely recommend, though, catching this one. It, like, it's a little older. Like, I think it was like 2013 to 2015 is where it aired.
Yeah.
But it is. It's got some touching moments. It's got some funny moments. It's got action. There's actually a lot of character development that goes on, like, all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a very solid show all the way, all together.
I'll have to check it out.
Good. Just, I would definitely say it, if you do, don't judge it on, like, the first episode, because that's what we did when we first watched it. We watched an episode, we're both like, eh, and then didn't watch it again for maybe, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
We're like, well, let's give it another shot. And we watched, like, the next, like, two or three, we're like, okay, this isn't bad, like, we'll stick this one out.
Usually when I watch a new anime, I do try to wait for it to be a few episodes in and watch all of them at once, just so I can, like, get the feel, because one episode really isn't enough.
Yeah, same here. It was just that first episode. It was just something about the first episode was just kind of off-putting for us. Like, it wasn't like fan service here or anything like that. Just, yeah, something about it was just kind of like, eh, this doesn't seem like our sort of thing. And then, yeah, it ended up being really good.
Yeah.
So you decided to rewatch Avatar?
Yeah. So the James Cameron movie that came out however long ago?
In 2009.
Yeah. I actually rewatched that this weekend, and I can't finish this statement without actually just stopping myself. I didn't watch Avatar, I started rewatching The Last Airbender. Because I've never actually seen The Last Airbender all the way through, like, the cartoon.
It just got added to Netflix, yeah, right?
It was on Netflix forever ago, and I started it. But for some reason, I didn't finish. I got, like, seven episodes into the first season, and stopped. And so, within, like, the past, I think on Friday, it was added onto Netflix again. So, like, today, really, I watched the first, two episodes before we recorded, because it's a show I've always wanted to watch. And so I figured I'd play a little joke with you guys and say that I'd watched Avatar to see how you guys would react.
I'm just gonna be honest, like, if you finished the statement for, like, what you put under here, I was going to just mute you for the rest of the show.
Yeah, and I couldn't seriously say that James Cameron movie, Avatar, holds up.
It didn't hold up in 2009 when it was made.
No, like, fucking I wanted...
Unobtainium.
I was gonna say, like, with all the playing of Assassins, or of Kingdom Hearts, I wanted to go back into a Disney hall and watch Pocahontas, but I couldn't find it, so I started Avatar instead, but I couldn't even find the strength to do that, because that movie... Look, I don't hate that movie, but it's... I acknowledge that it wasn't that great, and it shouldn't be as renowned as people say it is.
Yeah, like, it was a visual marvel, but the plot is super thin, the acting is very bad, and, like, there's some really good actors in that movie, but it's all bad.
Yeah.
They have sex with their weird flying horses. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Whereas they're having sex, they're still molesting those things.
Yeah, just to control them. It was just even weirder when you think about that.
But like, it's like sex trade or sex slaves or whatever.
Yeah, disgusting. It's forced bestiality is what it is. It's weird, but no, I started to rewatch Avatar: The Last Airbender. Got a few episodes in. It's like I said, I've always been told that it's a fantastic show with great morals and great stories. That it's going to be something that I'm going to be watching all the way through over the next couple of weeks.
Now, are you going to follow that up by watching Legend of Korra?
Is it on Netflix?
I don't know, but I'm sure it's somewhere.
If it's on Netflix, yes. If it's on something I don't have, no. If it's on, like, Hulu or something, maybe. If it's on Netflix, I probably will just continue through with Legend of Korra. I know it was on Netflix for a while, and I heard Korra is just as good. Probably not just as good, but is also good.
So I see, like, conflicting statements on that. Some people say that Legend of Korra was better.
Yeah.
And then other people are like, no, Avatar was better.
Yeah, I can... Maybe, like, the people who'd never watched Avatar but watched Korra and then watched Avatar would, like, turn and be like, well, no, Korra is better. And the people who have the nostalgia feel for Avatar is like, no, Avatar is better. Like,
now, these are all, like, 30-year-olds that have watched all of it because the internet's full of that.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, that's why I say, like, it's good. Like, I don't know if it's just as good. But some people say it's good, just as good. Some people say it's better. So I have to wait and see until I watch them both.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I've seen like bits and pieces of Avatar, and it was a super interesting show.
Yeah, and that was my thing. Like, I've always seen a handful of episodes in book one, which is season one, of the show. Like, I've never actually, because I would watch it while it was on air on Nickelodeon, but I never, like, sat down to watch episode to episode in the way Nickelodeon airs things. Like, it's kind of random. Like, sometimes they air 5 new episodes in a week. Sometimes they only air 1 new episode in a month. So, like, I never actually got to see the story from beginning to end, even in season one. So it's just, it's going to be, like, an interesting new ride to watch this thing that so many people love that I've always been super interested in, but never really got to watch.
Yeah, I thought a couple of times about, well, not a couple of times, but, like, the when it's been on Netflix over the years, I've thought about watching it, like, because it's, like, popped up in, like, different parts of the site. And even seeing it come back on there, I'm just like, oh, maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it is kind of a rough watch, though, because it's not widescreen. It's so old, and it's a cartoon. It's an American cartoon.
Yeah, it was a Nickelodeon cartoon, too.
That it's not widescreen. The animation is a little choppy. Like, even watching, like, the first two episodes, like, the characters are talking, but they're, like, so far off the, like, so far into the center of the screen, which is so far back into the stage of the show that, like, you can't really see their mouth moving because of the digitizing of this show and how poorly it did.
It could improve over time. Like,
yeah.
First season of animated series are usually a little rougher than later seasons just because they didn't have a budget yet because they didn't know if the show was going to actually make them any money.
And it may have also been, like, me Chromecasting it on from my phone. I've been having some issues with, like bad, with, like, it looking choppy from when I Chromecast from my phone. So it might be my Chromecast in general.
I get that sometimes, issues. Too. Like, if I'm upstairs and I Chromecast it to the TV I have in the bedroom, things will look a little just not as crisp as they do when we, like, watch it right through, like, the TV app downstairs.
Yeah, like, I was watching one of the new episodes of Magic for Humans that was just put out, and I tried playing it through my phone, and no audio was coming through, and it looked bad. So I tried it, like, multiple times. I reset my phone, still tried it, nothing. Then I told my my home to play it onto my Chromecast. Worked fine.
That's weird.
And it looked good. So I don't know if it's my phone or my Chromecast or a combination of both. My phone is 2 years old, so it might be time to get a new one.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah.
So you want to? This next thing is also super fucking weird. The Snyder Cut of Justice League is actually going to fucking happen.
I want to see it with like all like
all the talk, 4.5 hours.
Yeah, sure. With all the talk of how like this was better, and this changed things. It was like what's his name? The Whedon cut isn't as good, and they took too much out, and whatever.
That's like, that's all speculation. There isn't a Snyder cut. It doesn't exist yet.
Well, but like what they had and what they were going to do with it was apparently different than what they actually did with it, and that's what saying.
Yeah. So Whedon did a whole bunch of reshoots and did change a whole bunch, like. There were things that were supposed to be in the movie that weren't, like Darkseid was supposed to be in the original cut of the movie, and he never was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that there does not yet exist an actual Snyder cut. Part of the story is he is working on actually assembling the crew from the movie so that they can go back and, you know, post-production, scoring, visual effects, ADR, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They're actually estimating that it's going to be about $20 million to do the project.
I bet you they make their money back on this, though.
So, maybe. It's being released on HBO Max in 2021.
Okay.
So, they're not sure exactly what the form's going to be. It could be a 4-plus-hour long just director's cut of the movie. Or they might release it as, like, chapters with, like, cliffhangers and stuff like that. So, like, like an episodic limited series.
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, like, honestly, I feel like that could possibly, like, that would probably be a better way to tell that story.
Yeah. Because like, you have to build the characters, you have to build up Cyborg and the Flash, like the characters that weren't really seen before in the first couple, and then you have to like bring them together, and that like it the movie isn't chapters in itself.
Yeah, but you could break it up into like 6 1-hour like episodes, or like 6 45-minute episodes, because usually the HBO stuff is more like 45 to 50 minutes. And then like actually flesh out those characters.
Yeah. Which is like, you don't really need to flesh out, Aquaman now because he had his own movie, but like you need to flesh out some of the others who didn't get their own movie before or after, the release of this.
Yeah. Even just like fleshing out characters like Batman and Wonder Woman and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like,
cause like we don't really know much about Wonder Woman in the modern era. We didn't really get to see much Batman at all because...
And I was really digging that Batman. Like, I was super interested to see a Matt Damon Batman, or...
That's Ben Affleck, buddy.
Ben Affleck. They're the same person. A Ben Affleck Batman that, like, I wanted to see more. I wanted to learn more, but you just didn't get to.
Yeah, and that was definitely a bummer with the whole thing. I'm not, like, edge of my seat excited for this, but it is actually pretty cool and kind of exciting that something like this is actually even happening.
Yeah.
Apparently the talks for this actually started back in November, the day after the 2-year anniversary of the movie coming out. HBO executives apparently called Snyder up to discuss this.
Okay.
It sounds like on the anniversary, the release the Snyder Cut hashtag like exploded, and yeah. It had more traction on social media than any other Warner Brothers property hashtag for a movie that has never actually existed.
Not surprising.
Yeah. So that's just one of those. It's like, all right, well, if this many people are talking about it, if even half of them are interested, they're going to make their $20 million
back. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that's such a weird fucking thing all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, just weird decisions in general that they've been making over there that hopefully this helps them, but probably won't.
Yeah, one of the wildest things I read in the article, I think it was like a Hollywood Reporter article where they actually talked to Snyder about it. He mentioned like having this longer cut or doing it as like chapters would give them an opportunity for like character development. And all I could think is, dude, when have you ever developed a character? Like,
I mean, he had 2 movies to develop Superman, and he did.
Not really.
I mean, it was...
Superman does not have much of a personality in either of those movies.
Well, I mean, that's because he died at the end of the one, so it doesn't really matter.
But, like, I think Zack Snyder has a incredible eye for, like, cinematics.
Yeah.
Like, he makes some really cool movies. Like, I don't know if he works with the same cinematographer every time or not, but, like, if he does, like, that team... great for making like a visually like appealing movie.
Yeah.
But like storytelling wise, he is just not a good storyteller.
No, he's not. I don't really know a lot of the other movies he's made besides these DC movies.
So he made the DC movies. He did Watchmen, which is technically a DC movie.
Mm-hmm.
He also did that movie Sucker Punch with the girls in the insane asylum.
Sucker Punch was really good.
So Sucker Punch looked really good. Story-wise, it was a jumbled mess. You had to watch it twice to really get the whole thing.
I mean, I got it fine once.
If you watch it a second time, a lot of stuff actually makes a lot more sense. Like, yes, by the end of the movie, you understand what happened. But it's still, it's a very chaotic, jumbled mess that another director would have been able to tell a more coherent story with that. But it wouldn't, I don't think it would have looked as nice.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's a really good visual storyteller. He just isn't good at the story part.
Yeah.
Where are so the CW?
CW has a lot, kind of, sort of going on.
There's a lot of news coming out of
it. Yeah.
The biggest one is probably that Ruby Rose has stepped down from Batwoman, and the role is going to be recast.
Which that's interesting. I've been seeing a lot of people online saying, like, good riddance and that they hated her and they also hated the show, but obviously they probably weren't the target audience for the show because they're not tween girls.
Yeah, that's the internet with every one of these CW shows. If you look at like comments for any of these, it's just people shitting all over them. It's like, why do you watch it then? Why does it even fucking matter? Just go shut your mouth and go sit in the corner, you piece of shit.
But I liked her. I liked Ruby Rose as Kate. She made it her own, and it's going to be odd seeing the primary character of this show just be somebody else.
Yeah, because you don't see that a lot anymore. Like,
no.
There was a time where actors and actresses would, like, get replaced in shows. Not frequently, but, like, often enough that, like, it was a thing. But now it's usually, like, if an actor leaves the show, they usually just change course with it. Like, that Lethal Weapon show that was on Fox for a couple of years, when the guy that was playing Riggs got fired, they brought in Sean William Scott as a completely different character. They didn't recast the role. They just introduced an entirely new person.
Yeah.
Whereas, they can't do that with this.
Yeah, like, you can't have a new Kate unless somehow there's some sort of crisis happens again before the next season, and she just completely changed, but she's always been the same person. Like, no, it's, like, it's going to be Kate. It's going to be Kate Kane. It's just going to be a different actress. And it's like, and they've said this in their releases, like, they're looking for somebody in the LGBTQ plus community to take this role over. But, like, my thing, and this is probably a weird thing to fixate on, the tattoos. Like, I feel like that was part of this version of Kate, that, like, people aren't going to be as tatted up as Ruby Rose.
Yeah, and that's one of those, you know, they could put the tattoo, like, put tattoos on the new actress, or they could just not, and, like, never mention it, never make reference to anything, and just roll with it.
Yeah, but, like, there were some tattoos that you saw on her that, like, you saw all the time, that, like...
Oh, yeah, that's because she literally has them all over, her hands, like, on her neck.
Yeah, like, it's the neck tattoos, mostly, that, like, the hand tattoos, like, they're fine, you can just... It's a different hand they're using. Like it's not the left hand, it's the right hand or whatever. But, like, the neck tattoos, you always saw that because she has them all over her neck and stuff. And I'm just I admit, it is a weird thing to fixate on, but it's kind of like, it is the trademark of this version of Kate Kane. Like, they even mention it in the show of the tattoos that she has.
Yeah. And, like, I don't think Ruby Rose is the best actress. But she actually did much better in this than I expected her to, and better in this than, like, some of the other stuff I've seen her do. Mm-hmm. I think her sort of just lack of acting skill actually benefited the character, because the character is supposed to be sort of, like, closed off and standoffish. And then every once in a while, when she'd come out of her shell, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like, that works.
Yeah.
And, like, she had decent chemistry with most of the characters that, like, she interacted with, especially especially the actress that plays her sister. Like, I think those two actually worked really well off each other, because that actress is, she's actually a really good actress in this. Like, she does the not crazy and crazy scary well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm interested to see, like, who they end up filling that role with.
Yeah, I'm going to be, like, keeping an eye out on this. We've got, we can just move on with this. We've got a year and a half before we even see anything, because new seasons aren't coming out until 2021.
Do you want to try that time again?
Well, is it early 2021 or is it late? Is it, like, late 2020?
No, it's January 2021. We've got,
we've got a year.
7 months.
I wasn't, like, the new shows, they're going to hold their seasons until early 2021. Okay, I didn't read the full thing. Yeah. But, like, that means if they get to start filming soon.
Like, well, so even if they don't get to start filming soon, by holding them off until January, as long as they can start filming by November, they're good.
Yeah.
Because usually, like, the shows go off the air in May, so they wrap up filming late April, early May. And then they're back to shooting around July, August, which then puts them, you know, 2 months out from premiere. So as long as they can start shooting in November and like writers and everything can work on scripts before then, they should be in decent shape to have everything go smooth.
Yeah, it's hopefully, but we'll see what the timeline, if the timeline changes over the next 3-4 months. Like that's,
yeah, that is true.
Well, like the main point is like the next couple of months to see how the timeline changes with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, and it's not just the DC stuff. It's all of CW shows are pushed to January.
Yeah.
With some of them actually coming even later. So like from like the DC stable of stuff like Flash and Batwoman and the Superman and Lois show and stuff like that, they're all going to premiere in the January timeframe. Supergirl and Legends though are actually being held for like a mid-season. So they actually wouldn't start till like March or April.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. Legends, that's pretty normal. They've been like the mid-season show for a while now.
Yeah.
Supergirl is apparently just to account for Melissa Benoist's pregnancy. So this way they don't have to try and like work around that. They can just wait until she's back from maternity leave.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, there's no way you're going to like... Like, you already have to do it with Batwoman, but there's no way you can temporarily change the actress for Supergirl for 5 episodes, or however many episodes she may be out for.
Like, the only way they could do it, and this would be so fucking dumb, is if they did another, like, kryptonite poisoning in the planet plot line, and had her stuck in that kryptonite suit, where they could basically Iron Man it and just have her record... like neck up stuff and then have her stuck in the suit 24/7 because kryptonite's poisoning the planet.
Yeah, but that would be too much. Like they already have one character in their shows that like has basically haven't been in any of the episodes, and that's Sarah in Legends. And that's just driving me nuts to like have your main character for Supergirl not be in a show for half the season. Just wouldn't work.
I don't know why Sarah hasn't been in Legends.
I don't know. I think I read that she's like Ray and his wife weren't the only two that were leaving this season. I thought maybe she was leaving too, or maybe somebody else is leaving. I can't fully remember.
So. It's already confirmed that she is back, Ava's back, Constantine's back. Constantine's like the girl that he's trying to rescue. I forget her name.
Yeah.
I can't remember
her name.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the one that they're trying to help now. She's back. Nate's back. The only person that they haven't confirmed will be back is Charlie.
Okay.
And actually, the brother and sister, Zari and whatever her brother's name is, both of them will be back, too.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone but Charlie is confirmed for next season.
Okay. And I will have to wait to see through the end of this season as to maybe why she might not be confirmed.
Yeah, because, I mean, this season is sort of seems like it's going to be wrapping up her story.
Yeah.
But one more bit of sort of... CW news, at least, they've revealed sort of their plans for what the crossover is going to look like next year.
Okay.
It's going to be a Batwoman, Superman, and Lois related one. So rather than being 5 hours, it's just going to be two. It's going to be one episode of each of those shows. It will include some of the characters from the other shows, but it's apparently going to primarily focus on those two.
Mm-hmm.
Which. I don't know. That seems a little weird. Why not, like, why not just do a Batwoman and Supergirl? Like, they already have sort of a...
It's because of the filming for the next season and that they can't have Melissa be Kara because she's pregnant.
But they're not... The crossover is apparently not going to be till later in next season anyway. It's not going to be at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
So it's just one of those, it's like, hold off on it, do this one where you have two characters with an established relationship. Batwoman and Superman don't make a whole lot of sense. It'd be different if it was Batman and Superman. But they also both, Batwoman and Supergirl kind of set up, not a common threat, but they both sort of have a there's a through line in both of them that actually affects both shows in a way. So, you're caught up on both of them?
I'm caught up. I watched them.
Drew, do you mind if I spoil Batwoman and Supergirl for you?
No, I'm sure I'm gonna watch them, but you know.
So Batwoman, that you find out in like the last episode that Kryptonite is actually the only metal hard enough to penetrate the Batsuit.
Yeah, which is that's interesting.
And that Luke found a way to destroy the Kryptonite to basically make it just powder and blow away. But Kate still has a single piece of it, which is the piece that Kara told her to hold on to after Crisis.
Yeah, and it's the piece that Kevin Conroy, Bruce Wayne gave her when they were visiting his Earth because they thought he was a paragon.
Yeah, right? It turned out it was actually Kate.
Yeah.
But she says in there that she doesn't want to destroy it until she has a chance to talk to Kara.
Yeah.
And then, likewise, Supergirl just had all of the kryptonite from the DEO stolen, and then the DEO destroyed. And the villains are... at least at the moment, the villains aren't around anymore, but they were harnessing the kryptonite in weapons to fight her.
Yeah.
So, like, kryptonite's kind of involved in both of them. That would be an interesting way to bring those two shows together.
Yeah. Nah, but I'm sure they have an idea, and I'm sure it's going to make sense, because honestly, the crossovers never really didn't make sense. I'm sure they have a reason as to why.
Yeah.
Batwoman and Superman and Lois.
Oh, I'm sure, and I'm sure it's because they're the two newest shows, so they just want to sort of bolster them by having them be the focal points of the crossover.
Yeah, and since all the characters are going to be going into those episodes, people are going to want to watch it because it might coincide with what's going on, maybe, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, we'll find out next year.
Yeah,
kind of where that's at.
Yeah.
Now, excuse me, did you have anything you wanted to say about either of the finales?
I thought they were good for what they had. Both, like Supergirl's finale, it was interesting because that had the biggest cliffhanger, in my opinion, out of all three of them, with techno god like going batshit insane at the very end.
Yeah, and then there was also like Brainy might be dead.
Brainy's most likely probably dead or dying. And with Lex meeting up with his mom, with the three gods and the thing, like, I feel like that had the biggest cliffhanger, and like Batwoman had a very successful finale.
Yeah, like Batwoman's was very sort of, I don't want to call it low key, but it was kind of low key. Like a semi mate important character was killed.
Yeah.
Alice is still trying to find a way to basically murder her sister.
Yeah.
Kate thought that she could trust her dad, and turns out that he just really wants to bring Batwoman down, so she can't.
Yeah.
And we finally get to see what Bruce Wayne of this universe looks like.
Yeah, and that's going to be like a cool twist potentially, which could also play into the Batwoman and Superman and Lois stuff, because something I texted you about earlier this week was whether or not this universe there was contention between Superman and Batman. That could be what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned to you, there is always a contention between those two.
Yeah.
They have sort of a love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
And I took it as that was more of a love-hate relationship on Kara's previous Earth, which would now technically be this Earth.
Yeah. So it's because, like, this Batman, the Batman on this Earth that we know wasn't the Batman from Kara's Earth. So now, like, they've potentially merged those two Batmans into one. So it's like, that's really cool. Maybe we will actually see a Bruce next season.
I mean, at least in a way.
Like, they have him casted, technically.
Yeah, it all just comes down to whether WB will actually allow it or not.
Yeah.
Which, with them having a Batman movie in production, I kind of doubt it. Like, yeah, if they ever allow it, I don't think it'll be next year because that movie is supposed to come out next year.
Yeah.
Or actually, that movie may have been pushed back another year.
I think it was. I can't remember.
Yeah, but I don't... If they ever allow it, it will be like an off year for the movie, like where it's not in any sort of like... It's not in anyone's even peripheral vision because they don't want to split the consciousness.
Yeah.
That's why at the end of... You watched all of Gotham, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, do you mind if I spoil the very end of Gotham?
It's been spoiled for me, I believe. Yeah. I think I asked somebody about it because I didn't really care that much.
You get a 2-second glimpse of the shadow of Batman, basically?
Yeah.
That's it. Like, that's why that whole show, you only get to see young, under the age of 15 Bruce Wayne.
But that's basically what they did with Smallville. Like, you didn't get to see Superman in his super suit flying away until the very end of the last scene of Smallville.
Even then, you didn't actually ever see Tom Welling's in the suit.
Yeah, like, didn't he just, like, open his shirt and you saw the S or something like that?
And then, like, I think there's, like, a little CG, like, image of, like, a blue and red thing flying by in the background. But that was different, though. That was not a studio mandate. That was the creators never wanted to have Superman in the show.
Yeah.
They wanted this to be the story of Clark Kent.
But, like, this is... They've, like, loosened at least the reins on Superman that... I would hope they maybe will loosen the reins on Batman because they see how successful these shows are. That, like... A Batman show would, or Batman, like, being a recurring character in, like, Batman, Batwoman and Superman and Lois would probably, like, would bring in a lot of ads, definitely. And probably a lot of views.
It would, but WB just seems bad about that stuff.
Yeah.
I agree with what you said, though. Like, both of them did actually very well with what they had to work with.
Yeah, like, all three of the finales, Flash included, like, they were good finales. Like, you can obviously tell that they were rushed, and they had to figure something out. But I'm glad that they, like, gave us a finale, and not just gave us what they had, and did a will be continued type of thing. Like, I'm glad that it was, like, here's, like, some sort of finale... And we'll continue this next year, and not like, well, here's what we had filmed, and here's how we're going to end it, which isn't really a cliffhanger, and isn't really a finale, and we'll give you more next year, what next season, type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Did you end up getting a chance to watch Stargirl?
Yeah, I did watch Stargirl. I liked it. Big ups to Luke Wilson. Like, good job on him getting a good gig.
Also, fucking Joel McHale was in the opening.
Yeah, Joel McHale. I couldn't remember his name, and I was going to mention him, too. Like, I was like, he's Starman. That's awesome. I wonder, like, what other, like, bigger names they might have for this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I know, so, I only know a little bit of Stargirl. But I looked it up, and it looks like this is actually very faithful to her original sort of origin in the comics.
Okay.
Where, you know, her family moved to this exact same town in Nebraska. She didn't find the staff at first. Like, Starman was a different character, so it was Starman and the Star-Spangled Kid were two different characters.
Okay.
And her dad, I believe, was the original Star-Spangled Kid. She got his, like, belt that gave her enhanced powers. And then, Luke Wilson's character, was her stepdad.
Yeah.
And the book was actually called Star and Stripe.
Okay.
So, like, her first name was actually the Star-Spangled Kid. Like, she took over that moniker, and whatever Luke Wilson's character's name is was Stripes. And then Starman was a part of that and eventually actually gave her the staff.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're kind of, like, melding that a little bit to just get her right into being Stargirl instead. But still seems very, very accurate to kind of like how the comics at least seem to start, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. I like that they're simul releasing, not at the same time, but like that's the best way I could put it, but releasing this on two different entities. We're releasing it on DC Universe, and then it's also on the CW.
Yeah, they're a day apart. Yeah. So it airs on, I guess, Monday on DC Universe, and then Tuesday on the CW.
Yeah, which I like that they're doing that. You could obviously tell that this is a different team and different set of people filming this, because it looked so much different than any CW show I've ever watched.
Yeah, or ever it's seen. Very like, bright and happy. Even with a show like The Flash or Legends, which are generally kind of like brighter and goofier.
Yeah.
It's also, so this is the new Earth 2, if I remember correctly.
Probably, yeah.
And I believe at the Titans end of Crisis.
Yeah, they did show this Earth at the end of Crisis. They also showed Titans Earth at the end of Crisis. I think that was like Earth 3 or 4.
It may have actually even been like a higher number than that. It might have been just like a random Earth 17 or something.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this ended up being Earth 2. And this wouldn't mean much to you, but I appreciate that the Justice Society was a very classic Justice Society with like Our Man and Wild Dog and Starman and stuff like that.
They did have the Flash in there. I think that was the Flash.
Yeah, it was Golden Age. It was like a Jay Garrick Flash.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you notice, they never showed him. They just showed his helmet. And in the picture, his face was all like blurred because it was on the crease of the photo.
Yeah.
Which means they just haven't casted anyone for that role yet.
he might be a character. He might not. But I thought it was a good episode. I thought it looked good. The acting was a little bit rough from like the main girl, but probably her first or second job. So
I looked her up. It looks like it was like either Disney Channel or like Nickelodeon stuff she had done before. Like she was young. She was like 20.
Yeah.
So like she hasn't been in a ton of stuff. But like, you know, it was the first episode too.
Yeah, and like, she's gonna have to grow into everyone has to grow into their character. Like, you can never base how good a show is gonna be on the pilot episode. You have to wait like at least till mid-season, I would say, before you can actually determine whether or not this is gonna be like a good show. Like, at least that's how I feel. I don't know about everybody else.
And I will say that like the kid that's like her stepbrother was a little bit more of a natural than she seemed to be.
Yeah.
But she also had to act opposite an inanimate object.
Yeah.
So, you know, props to her, I guess, for being able to, like, pretend that a staff is talking to you.
Yeah, you could tell throughout even the episode that, like, she was getting more comfortable in the role. That I feel like in a few episodes, it's gonna be like the back of her hand how she acts with this character.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just kind of seeing kind of where this show goes to. Because honestly, like the other stuff I've watched on DC Universe has all been really well done. Yeah.
I really liked season one of Titans. I never got to watch season two.
Yeah, I'm actually probably going to start my subscription up so that I can watch season two. And I might watch Doom Patrol at the same time. Yeah.
I heard Doom Patrol was really good, so.
Yeah, Swamp Thing was also really good, but it got canceled. Swamp Thing is actually going to be airing on the CW in the fall.
Swamp Thing was actually referenced at the end of Crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, because that universe still exists, but the show just doesn't.
maybe with it re-airing on the CW in the fall, if it gets enough traction, maybe they'll try to bring it back.
Yeah, that, I mean, or they could always, like, just bring that character into things in a different way, which would be cool.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys want to talk about D&D, since I know you just played on Monday?
I mean, with how we're doing things with these shortened sessions online, there's not too much to get into.
I was shocked you guys didn't try to, like, make the ship your own, but you guys did, they in the previous session, they ended up, not rescuing the captain of the ship that they were on while they were in an excursion in a cave. And so none of them have ever really boated, sailed, or rowed, or done anything with a boat before, that they had to row through rough seas back to their ship from the cave that they were making the excursion in. And it was like a little bit of a fun thing. I wish I had gotten better music to play during that instance, to make it feel a little bit more exciting.
Like the Pirates of the Caribbean theme?
I mean, yeah, maybe. Or, like, just something that's just, like, it gives tension. Less Pirates of the Caribbean and more like this is a rough situation that you're in. Because you're in rough waters, you've never really rowed a boat before, and you have to avoid rocks and things to keep your boat from actually capsizing or being destroyed. Save your little dinghy rowboat. Since we're only playing for 2.5 hours, there's not really a lot happening, but we're playing weekly, or bi-weekly, bi-weekly.
Yeah, bi-weekly is a weird term that can mean multiple things, just like bi-monthly.
Yeah, but we're playing every 2 weeks, but it was kind of like a side excursion towards their main story, which they're going to get back to next session. So, like, maybe in 2 weeks we'll have more to talk about, but not really this week. It was mostly just a combat round this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
There's one thing I put it on the spreadsheet and forgot to put it on the outline. I watched the movie Fantasy Island over the weekend.
Okay.
It's a Blumhouse movie. Yeah. It's actually got quite the cast, and I didn't realize that going into it. Michael Pena's in it. Michael Rooker's in it. Bunch of other people that, like, if you saw them, you'd recognize them, but you don't necessarily, like, know their names.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of people win, quote-unquote, a trip to this, like, tropical island resort where their biggest fantasies can get, like, made into a reality.
Yeah.
But it turns out, like, this island actually has some sort of, like, supernatural effect on it where, like, they really do become reality. But they're all twisted. And I don't want to give anything away necessarily for it, because it is a relatively new movie. But I actually didn't see the twist coming at the end. And in retrospect, there were a few things that sort of like could have given it away earlier in the movie. But I wasn't thinking about that stuff at the time. So like when the actual twist kind of happened near the end, I'm just like, oh fuck, that actually caught me off guard.
Oh, nice. My housemates went and saw that, and they hated it when they went and saw it, but I was always interested in it.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's the best movie, but, like, horror movies like this, like, or thrillers, I guess, is more what this would be. They never are. Like, it's just kind of like a campy, goofy movie. Like, nothing's really scary in it. You're more just kind of like suspense to see, like, oh, is this person going to die? Like, what's going to happen? What's actually going on here? What's the actual story behind it? And, like, the ending's a little weak, but I think, like, getting there was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all. So I'd say it's worth watching if you, like, rent it. It was, like, a $3 rental on Amazon.
Yeah. That's not bad. Maybe one of these days I'll get around to it. It was a movie that I was interested in. A thing I forgot to mention to you guys that I did this weekend. It was on Saturday. You know the game Terraria? It's the I guess 16-bit, 24-bit, 16-bit probably, sandbox game.
I know the name. I don't know anything about it though.
So it's a 2D sandbox game. That has been out for almost 10 years. Just got its final update on Saturday, and it's Terraria Journey's End, and it is one of I think Minecraft has like bosses, but there's no real end. Terraria had like you can just go and play and build, but there is like bosses you fight, and there is different worlds you go to, and there is an end to the game, and this like makes it so that like it's more accessible to like the more common player, and not like necessary to be more of like a hardcore player to be able to get to these end goals. It adds a feature where you research the things you find, and then you can just duplicate those rather than still having to find it. So it's easier to get the harder armors or the better armors to be able to get to the ender games by like instead of having to find 40 different pieces of gold to be able to make the gold armor, or it's probably more than 40 pieces of gold, but like you and your four friends can find 100 pieces of gold, research that, and then you can each duplicate the gold and make all the gold armor yourself without having to hunt anymore, so that you can go to the, like, the end points of the game. Apparently there's also golfing that they added. But yeah, Terraria has made so much, over 10 years, it's still only $10, which people are shocked at. And it's actually a fun game if you like the sandbox style. So I think it's the same people who did Starbound, or maybe the people who did Starbound, like, pulled off of Terraria, I'm not sure.
I'm not really sure what Starbound is either.
It's a space-based sandbox game. But okay. It's also 2D. It's not 3D.
So just stuff that has no appeal to me.
Yeah, it's not something that you'd be into, but I'm sure there's other people.
That is why I don't know what these are.
But it's just the idea that this game's been out for 10 years. It got its final update. It's version 1.4.
Yo, WoW's been out for almost 20 years, and it gets an update every 2 years.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not like an indie game. That's a main developer game.
Blizzard is a pretty small place.
Yeah, sure. Sell that to people who go to BlizzCon, and play all of their games. How many different kinds of games do they have? Diablo.
They have three.
Four. Wow. Well,
yeah. Right now they have Diablo, WoW, and Overwatch. That's it.
Oh, Hearthstone. Hearthstone still exists.
Hearthstone, yeah. Heroes of the Storm.
That's dead.
But it was still something that they had.
That they've ever had, then yeah, sure, there's more.
Well, that if you're going with anything they've ever had, then there's also like Warcraft and StarCraft.
Yeah.
Lost Vikings. And
whereas I believe the creators of Terraria don't really have much.
So they're underachievers compared to Blizzard. That's what I'm hearing. They should try a little harder.
I mean, it's a small team. It's not a big team like Diablo.
What you're telling me is they made the same game twice.
I don't really know if they did do Starbound. I'd have to look that up.
I don't know. I mean, like, I know very little about Terraria, but I know people do like it, and it's probably very good at what it does.
Yeah, it is good. It's like I've played it off and on over the years. It's fun. It's got its cool things. To me, this whole journey mode kind of takes some of it out of it because you're no longer hunting for those minerals once you get all of them that you need. And if somebody you know can just duplicate them for you, then you don't really need to look for them. But it will get me access into parts of the game that I've never done because I never played far enough into it to actually be able to fight some of these bosses or go to these different worlds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Drew, anything you wanted to talk about before we wrap up?
No, because I haven't gotten to try any of the PvE mode in the new season of Apex yet, because that opened up yesterday, and I have not.
I forgot they were adding a PvE mode to it.
Yeah, but, like, you have to unlock it by finding random drop treasure chests while playing. Granted, I haven't come across a game where I haven't seen multiple of them, so they're not, like, super rare, but you can only pick up one per day, and it doesn't unlock until you have five of them. Although you can also pay real money to buy up to get to the current day.
Okay.
So at least there's that if you miss them and care, but
I mean, I don't care enough to do that, but yeah, exactly. I just think it's cool that they added PvE to it.
Yeah, I don't know how it is yet, but it could be good. Who knows? Sometimes those things work out all right. Like, the PvE stuff in Overwatch was always pretty fun. But, well, I'll find out sometime this week or this weekend.
Nice. Well, hopefully it's actually good and fun.
Yeah, I have played the new character a little bit. She's cool. She has, like, a bracelet that she throws, and when it lands, you'll teleport to where it lands, or you can hit R2 to have it just immediately drop. So you can, like, throw it onto roofs and get around pretty quickly with that. And then her ultimate, she opens up a store, basically, that anyone can access, and it'll open up all the items within the area for you to just pick up from that spot instead of having to actually go grab them.
That's interesting.
So you can real quick loot an area.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That kind of takes a bit of the gameplay out, I guess.
I mean, it's your alt, so it's not like you have it right away.
Yeah.
I also think her using the ultimate accelerants, she only gets 20% and not 35 like everyone else does.
Okay.
But also, like, it's useful when, like, you've just gotten through a fight, and rather than having to check go individually loot all the death boxes, you can just be like, alright, boom, here. And you only get two things. Anyone can only take two things.
Okay.
From all it. Right. So it's not like, oh, here, unlimited looting.
Okay. And that makes sense. That's a little bit better. I guess that it doesn't break it too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. And, like, it does pop a thing, so everyone knows that you've used one. Like, yeah. There's a little aura that pops out. And enemies can also go use your store.
Yeah.
If you haven't pulled it back down.
Okay. All right.
And then, like, it doesn't quite break it. Yeah. And her passive, she can see purple and gold items through walls or containers. So
that's really cool.
So it speeds up looting with her a little bit. Like, you can go, oh shit, I know there's purple armor over there, I'm going there first.
Yeah. That's cool. I might have to buy her and check her out. She might be the first character I buy.
And I don't know what level you've gotten to and if you've just earned enough of the in-game currency to get her.
Yeah, I do. I have enough currency to get one new character. Yeah.
Yeah, she's been pretty fun from the bit I've used her.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, that's nice. It.
Cool. So, unrelated to anything, like, interesting about games, I burned myself with a soldering iron earlier this week.
Nice.
And it's left a very interesting burn on my finger. So, like, I accidentally hit the edge of the soldering iron, kind of where the screws go.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little hole where the screw is in there, but like the metal around that had heated up really good. And I just kind of like, my finger just kind of tapped it, but it was enough to basically sear the skin around the hole. Ew. So I have like this little like burn mark on my, like right in the middle of my middle finger, but then in the middle of the burn mark is a perfect circle of unburned skin.
That doesn't sound fun.
It's a very light burn. Like, it doesn't actually even hurt. It was more just like annoying when it happened, and like a little achy like later on when it like was kind of like starting to like heal a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was literally just, I have a really shitty soldering iron. It doesn't have like a base or anything. So I was trying to, I had one of my guitars apart and I was trying to fix a cable on it, and I had to like hold the solder, hold the cable, and hold the soldering iron with just two hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I was trying to like kind of like readjust them, my one finger just kind of like tapped the soldering iron, and it was one of those, I touched it and immediately knew I touched it in the wrong spot and like pulled away, but still seared a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, I keep like, look, every time I look at my hand, I see this, and it's just, it's weird looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess that's a show.
I believe so. So yeah. It seems like a pretty quick one.
That was a short episode 300, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's episode 300, and we're all under quarantine, so we're all in, like, different states of mind, so it's hard to do a lot of stuff.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually just very tired. This is an on-call week for me, so yeah. Luckily the weekend was pretty smooth. I didn't get any alerts over the weekend, but the last two nights, like, there have been, like, the middle of the night wake-up that, like, just fucks your night up for, like, a couple of hours, basically.
Yeah, and I feel like if we weren't dealing with what's going on in the world, maybe we'd have, like, gone to, like, round one or something like that, and, like, did something big for our not recorded at round one, though, but, like, gone to it and experienced it all together or something. We would have figured something out to do big, but because of the situation, I mean, it's... I'm glad to have been able to do 300 episodes with you guys. I hope that we can find ways to continue with 300 more.
That's a lot of years of this.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we don't want to rip each other's heads off and we're having fun with it, which admittedly, like, there was an instance last year where some of us were feeling a little drained, but we have reformatted, we have reset, and I'm actually not dreading this as much as I may have used to. That, like, I feel like as long as we can keep it going and keep it fresh, we're going to be happy, and we can keep going. At least maybe give us another 100, and we'll go from there if we get to 300.
I'm going at, I'm doing like 20 at a time. As long as every 20, but like maybe 350 we'll try, and maybe 350 we'll try and do something interesting.
You know, yeah. let's just go 52. Let's go 52 at a time. That's just yearly.
Just like, 1 year at a time.
Yeah, just 1 year at a time.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for this week. We will be back next week unless the world ends. Hopefully there's some interesting stuff to talk about by that point. In the meantime, if you'd like to find more of our content, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us out by going to your favorite pot. Ah, fuck, no, that's wrong. Guys, 300 episodes, I still can't get this right every time. You can help us out by supporting us by going to patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with your dollars, though, you can support us by going to your favorite podcast platform, like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, etc. Subscribe to us, rate us, review us, all that stuff. It helps. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can send us emails to social@one-quest.com. Otherwise, we'll be back next week with some more stuff to talk about. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.